Hello, and welcome to another episode of Lessons from a Crisis. Now we are going to be beginning a course of holiness. Actually, the course will begin next Sunday. The next few days will be an introduction, but we're also going to focus on the Sacred Heart during the rest of this week, because this week is the first week of April, and on the first Friday of every month, our Lord asked that that day would be dedicated to His Sacred Heart, and that those who would receive communion on that day would offer it in reparation for the sins of others. So that is very fitting to learn about during this special time. So I'll be teaching you about that today. But when we begin our course of holiness, as I call it, I really want to teach you the most important things I have learned over the last many years, like 40 years, since I started reading about the saints, learning about prayer in a very profound way from like reading John of the Cross and Teresa of Avila and other works that explained their writings, and then learning about the Holy Spirit, learning about all kinds of beautiful things, so that you can learn about what God needs you to do to become very close to Him, so that as you draw close to Him in holiness and are filled with sanctifying grace, your prayers, your sacrifices, your every act will be stronger. Like, remember how those of you who know St. Therese, the little flower, she would say picking up a pin could change things for love of Jesus would be very powerful. That's because anyone who is deeply in love with God, and this is in John of the Cross also, and only recently have I come to understand the depth of what they meant. But because you're so united in the body of Christ, because you're filled with all those graces and you're so close to our Lord, every act, because you're united with Him who is our head, but who is God Himself, more and more closely united to Him in holiness. So every act, every prayer, every sacrifice, every suffering, all your works, all the little difficulties, but all the joys, it all is united with Him in a particularly powerful way the closer you get to Him. Some of the insights that I've gained in the last 3 years are related to the Sacred Heart and to the reign of Christ, the social reign of Christ, which you'll hear about. So when we're having this course, the first 2 weeks, I want to focus more on our personal holiness. What in Fulton Sheen's talks from the 40s, he would talk about restoring the natural moral order. That is reminding us all as human beings what we're called to be. That moral choices are those choices that only human beings have because they can think and they can choose. Those two great gifts related to our freedom or our liberty. We are the only moral creatures because other creatures, other animals cannot sin because they don't have a choice. They do what instinct tells them. And so we are the only ones who are moral, who can either choose good or evil. And we want each of us to choose only good and the greatest good, because that's how you will grow in holiness. I would like to teach you about the supernatural moral order, which is our natural moral order elevated by grace to a supernatural level, sharing in the life of God, the divine life. So our goodness is not natural moral goodness, which is what every good human being would be called to. But because we're baptized and given the gift that raises us to sharing the very nature of God, our goodness is at that high level. That's why a saint, when they become very transformed, are not doing what an ordinary human being can do. They're doing what a person who has been transformed by God can do. The gifts of the Holy Spirit are particularly active within them. And so they're at a whole different level than anyone else. That's why, like a Pope John Paul or Mother Teresa that we know in our day, did such amazing things. We couldn't do that. They couldn't do it. Except that God, they had opened themselves so fully to God that He did it through them. So I want to teach you how to be that docile to God, how to let go of those things you might want, and to recognize what He wants, and to see where our society has sort of dulled your sight to seeing those beautiful things that 100 years ago Catholics knew and recognized, because partly they knew the catechism, which I'm teaching to the children in lessons for little ones, and I'm actually learning because I never really learned the catechism, or because those questions are just sort of pure truth. They put things very carefully and concisely, but they're truth. And so that is sometimes why in the past people saw things more clearly, but even the leaders saw things more clearly, and they were simple, and so they could hear God more easily. They also knew the priests 100 years ago, and Fulton Sheen was ordained about 100 years ago, and some other great priests that I've encountered, Father Joseph Huslein, he was ordained before that time, but they also, they combined a simplicity of faith with great learning. And their learning was based on the teachings of St. Thomas Aquinas, very sound philosophical principles, and then the philosophy of St. Thomas Aquinas informed or helped form faith on a very solid basis of knowledge, reason and faith working together. So that we're going to actually learn from those wonderful people of the past, first about holiness, the supernatural moral order, and then the last 2 weeks of during this time when it sounds like we're going to be doing this crisis for about a month at least, and it will be more unless we get a lot of people quickly to really grow holy, to really examine their life and begin to put aside those things that keep them from God and then focus on God. You can strive to put it into practice in your life. And if we find more and more people willing to strive for it, we will win a beautiful victory in our society. The second 2 weeks of this 4-week session, then, I am going to focus on the effect of the Christian message on society. And in the talks of Fulton Sheen, he called this the Christian social order, the social reign of Christ. Now, I will be speaking today quite a lot about the Sacred Heart of Jesus. And you might think that devotion to the Sacred Heart would only affect a person. Knowing Christ's love, that's what it concerns. But the Church, throughout from the 1600s through the 1900s, when devotion to the Sacred Heart really grew and flourished and matured, the vision that people began to have, a realization, was that the reign of Christ would be the social reign of Christ over society, that Christ would permeate, His Spirit, the gospel, would permeate all of society. Our personal sanctification will affect and revive the whole Church. And that is what the first 2 weeks I want you really to concentrate on, making your home a holy home. Actually, that's all you're going to concentrate on during this time. Making your own life holy, and then as much as you can, drawing the other people in your home to strive more and more after Christ and eliminate those things that are taking you away from Him. Now, I happened to be thinking about this before, that I wanted to talk about our personal holiness and then our effect on society. And I opened this book that I have because I want to talk about the Sacred Heart. So I grabbed my book called Jesus, the King of Love, which is from the 1940s. It's mostly a compilation of a collection of sermons from a holy priest named Father Matteo Crawley Bovi. And he was a priest who traveled the world encouraging devotion to the Sacred Heart for decades. He was in the last century for like 40 years. He went all over and he would have retreats and talks and do much on encouraging enthronement of the Sacred Heart in the home so that Jesus would be the center of the home. And then, but from that, he wouldn't just put a picture in the home. He would teach the people how to make Jesus their friend and how to make him the center of all things and allow his spirit to permeate their home. And so when I opened this book, it's just the beginning of it. And I knew that right now, of course, we aren't going to church. And because we have no churches open, God is using this time to sanctify us from the bottom up in our homes. And that's what's interesting, because that I opened to this, to page 6 of Jesus, the King of Love. And here is what it said. Truly, in order that the world may be transformed and saved, it is absolutely necessary that the Nativity should not only be a great feast, but a living and lasting reality. In other words, that Jesus, our Emmanuel, should be really and truly dwelling among us, his banished brethren, who are much more weak than evil. Let us not deceive ourselves. In order to bring about the day, be it far or distant, of the social reign of Jesus Christ, proclaimed and revered as King, ruling by sovereign right throughout the whole of human society, which is what I was speaking of, that all of society would be under the beautiful, gentle influence of Christ. In order to bring that about, he says, it will be necessary for us to refashion the society of today from its very basis, from the bottom. That is to say, to rebuild it on the model of Nazareth, that is the Holy Family. Every nation is worth what the family life is worth, for a nation has ever been, either in holiness or corruption, that which the home is. So we can't gather at church. Yes, you can watch it together on television, but know that that is not really what God is even willing for us at this time. He's permitting it because we need to learn many things. But we, during this time, who are little, must focus on bringing about in our homes that Nazareth, just like he said in the first paragraph. He goes on, the great evil, the evil of evils in our society today is that the sense of the supernatural, of the divine, is lost. But there is assuredly a remedy for it, and that is to take again the road of the gospel and return to Nazareth. The eternal wisdom willed to found the redemption of the world on the cornerstone of the Holy Family. By no other way than this ought we try to save the modern world. We must mold it after the pattern so simple, yet so sublime, of Nazareth. Wow. Basically, he's saying exactly what I was trying to say, especially since we can't gather with our priests and bishops other than through the internet. But how much more important is what is happening in your families right now? And only when enough families and homes and individuals grow holy and begin to pray, do penance, and stop sinning will this crisis end. There will still be the germ, but the crisis will end, and it will end peacefully only if people pray. But some people might start to not want to have our freedoms taken away. And they might try to fix the troubles in a human method. But I am sure that this crisis is completely spiritual. Remember, the great evil, the evil of evils in our society today, is the sense of the supernatural, of the divine, is lost. So most people don't see this as a spiritual moment, that goodness must triumph over evil, but that is what it is. And only prayer, nothing else, will take us to the end of this crisis in a peaceful way. And since you're listening to this and you are praying and growing holy, you are the means God is using to uplift our country. And that's what this man says. The only way a country will be changed is through the families. It's not because of the big people who are ruling and guiding the church. It's because the little people are growing holy. Little Saint Therese was completely unknown. But as soon as she passed from this world into heaven, where she was going to spend all her eternity doing good on earth, all kinds of important people discovered her, and she began to influence the whole world. And our prayers, even if we stay unfamous, does not matter. Our prayers and our sacrifices will influence the world in the same way, in proportion to how united we are to Christ. Now, I'm going to read just a little more of this man's beautiful thoughts, because it's so true what he is saying, the power of a family. Now, he writes before World War II, or at least the speech, the talk that he's giving, was done before World War II. So again, he's calling World War I the Great War. How eloquently men have described and illustrated by photographs the hideous destruction of churches and shrines in what was the immense field of battle in the Great War. Cathedrals, monasteries, chapels were razed to the ground in the inevitable swaying back and forth of armies. How much more appalling is the moral ruin of this thrice holy sanctuary, which is the home. Basilicas and cathedrals, however magnificent and venerable they be, will not redeem the world, but holy families will do so. This is logical, for the family is the source of life and the first school of the child. Hence, if the fount is poisoned, the fountain is poisoned, the nation will perish. Our purpose, then, in this campaign is to inoculate the home. And the principle of education in the home, with Jesus Christ and the sap of his divine love, in such a way that the tree may finally be Jesus Christ himself in the blossom and fruits it bears. The enthronement of the Sacred Heart, then, properly understood, is, to put it briefly, so the enthronement is just putting the picture of the Sacred Heart in a beautiful place in your home, where it basically is the center of your home. And when you pray, he is there, along with Our Lady. But that is this particular priest focused on the Sacred Heart at the time. The enthronement, then, properly understood, is, to put it briefly, Jesus, King of Love, coming to the threshold of the home and asking for his place in it, one which belongs to him by divine right, the same which he was offered in the villa of Bethany. And it is a place of honor because he is king, who at no distant time and by his loving conquest of families will reign over the whole world. So that is what I want you to focus on. I want you to know that you are meant to help build up this whole country right now, when we are in a very serious moment, more serious than most people probably know. And I think as time goes on, there will be a realization, perhaps, about what this is all about. But it doesn't matter. What this is all about is God giving us time to grow holy, really holy, so that when it has passed, this crisis has passed, we will be changed, changed forever. And we will have a home that is like what Father Mateo was speaking of, a home that is centered around Jesus Christ and, of course, also his Holy Mother, because you're praying the rosary and making sacrifices. So This is the week in which there is a First Friday. The First Friday of the month is especially dedicated to the Sacred Heart of Jesus. Now, you can learn more about the Sacred Heart by listening to my talks on the Sacred Heart from the Life is Worth Pondering series. I made them last June. I will tell you more about the devotion to the Sacred Heart tomorrow to prepare you for the First Friday. Of course, you can't really go to Mass and Communion on that day during this First Friday. But when we have our Masses back again, you will probably want to try to strive to do the First Friday devotion, the 9 First Fridays. And it's a little tricky, though, because priests don't really make Masses when people can go to them anymore, except for retired people. But perhaps after this crisis, priests will be changed as well and will make Masses more available for their people. Let us pray that that will happen, that even on their day off, before they go off on their day off, they will provide Mass for their people. We'll pray for everyone to grow holy during this crisis, but first the families and individuals, each of us trying to grow holy. And I'm going to close with a beautiful, beautiful thought from Father Peyton. I was reading this book called The Ear of God from 1951, Father Peyton's first life story. He wrote another book about himself, his autobiography, about his fascinating life. Father Peyton is one of those priests who got literally millions of people to pray the family rosary, literally millions and millions, around the world to pray the family rosary, starting in the mid-40s through probably the 80s. But even when people were not praying the rosary as much, he continued because he knew how powerful it was. But in this book, I love this thought. We go back to Fatima and Our Lady coming to those children and telling them the threefold message that we need today. Pray the rosary every day, do penance, and stop sinning. And this is what he said. I love this. When a child is sick, they go to their mother. When a child is in danger, the mother runs to her child. And that is what Our Lady did at Fatima, and even now. She ran to us and told us of the dangers that were coming. Back in 1917, she tried to warn us of many dangers that would be coming if we didn't change. And then when the message spread, we listened, and we in our country prayed very, very much. And I am pretty sure that some great dangers were averted because of a Father Peyton and other priests who got many, many millions of people to pray the rosary every day. And now, during this time, it's another time that Our Lady is coming to us, running to us and saying, "You are in danger, dear, dear my country," the country she watches over as the Immaculate Conception. And she tells us, now, once again, to be safe, as many as possible, pray the rosary every day, do penance in reparation for sin, and stop sinning yourself. For God is very much offended, and he is a God of mercy, but he's also a God of justice. So let's pray that many people will be sorry for their sins and turn to him and change. And let's offer sacrifices for them and prayers. So, until tomorrow, keep praying. I know you are. And I am praying for you. And please spread this message to others so that many people will come to know and love our faith and learn about our great call to be holy, as God is holy.